We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Amen, 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 amen. I want to share something with you that is straight from my heart this afternoon. Starting in Mark chapter number 10, I want to talk a little bit about evangelism. I want to talk a little bit about getting saved. And I want to talk a whole lot about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. If it weren't for Jesus Christ, we would just be a pep rally, pepping ourselves up to get ready for the work week. But I'm glad to know that I'm part of more than that. I'm part of something that is eternal. The eternal church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, who has come to seek and to save. Jesus Christ is seeking those which should be saved. And we are doing the same thing as the bride of Christ. And you may say, well, that's impossible. How are we going to reach our world? Mark chapter number 10 in verse 27 deals with that exact question. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Who really believes that all things are possible through Jesus Christ? All things are possible. Now, that includes the small things. God, let me get to work on time. God, let me make this light, please. God, help me to get through this traffic jam without waving my finger at somebody. Now, don't lie. Some of us have all done that either before Christ or even after Christ. We've all slipped up. But God is real. God is real. And that's something that this world just doesn't understand, that all things are possible through Jesus Christ. And that is a real statement. It doesn't get any more real than Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected from the dead so that we might have eternal life. It's amazing how real God is. He created everything. In the book of Genesis, it talks about how He spoke and things happened. Now, God didn't, you know, get a hammer and nails out and start building stuff and throwing things together. All He did was speak. Think about that for a moment. The spoken word of God is powerful. The spoken word of God is creative. It is more than just noise. And that's why when we read Mark chapter number 10 and verse 27, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things. That includes the big things, the things that you really need. God, I need to make the mortgage payment this week or this month because I'm out of money and I still got a lot of month left. It includes the big things like, God, please heal me of cancer. Please heal me of this or that. Heal me of all the things that ail me. It includes that. God is able to do all things. Where man comes up short, where man falls short and just can't reach the bar, Jesus Christ comes through and says, I can get that bar. I can reach that bar and I can lower it down for you to where you can make it through anything that comes your way. God is real. The Bible also says that those that come to Him must come to Him in faith. God does great work if we let Him. If we let Him. God does amazing work if man would just get out of the way sometimes. Now, don't get me wrong. There are lots of things that the church needs to do. There are lots of things that God has put in our hands to do. But sometimes we need to get out of the way and say, God, do your work. Too many times we try to force God's hand and say, God, if you'll do this, I'll be good forever. God, if you come through this time, I'll never sin again. God, if you come through, I'll put $200 in the offering plate. God, if you come through, I'll just, and fill in the blank with whatever you want to fill it in with. We try to force God's hand when we really just need to get out of the way and let God do His work. God does His work much better than we ever could because we are fallen. We come short. We come up short in the big things that only God can do. One of the biggest things God does is He heals. He is our great physician. In Mark chapter number 12, It talks about other things that God does. Mark chapter number 12, the first commandment of all. This is for those that are already saved. Those that are in the kingdom. Those that are in the church. And Jesus answered them, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Now, I don't know about you, but I've lived a couple of different places in my life. I've had some good neighbors. I've had some not so good neighbors. I've had some loud neighbors. I've had some neighbors that don't mow their lawn. I've had some neighbors that do mow their lawn. I've had great neighbors and bad neighbors. Now, the great neighbors are easy to love because you want to invite them over for barbecue and you want to do all kinds of fun stuff with them. You want to have a great time with them because they smell right, they look right, they act right, and they're just good neighbors. It's easy to love those folks. But how do we love those bad neighbors? Those neighbors that just don't act right. Those neighbors that don't mow their stinking yard. That have a car on blocks in their front yard. If any of you have that, I forgive you. Forgive me, please. But those bad neighbors, how do we love them? It only comes through God. Again, Mark chapter number 10, it says, with God, all things are possible. All things, including love, loving those that are quote-unquote unlovable. And that's what we in the church need to be. We need to be a church that loves those that the world has cast off and said, they don't smell right, they don't look right, they don't talk right, they don't do anything right. The church is supposed to open their arms for folks like that and say, come in, because you know what? Jesus Christ loves you, so I love you too. And you meet Jesus Christ and he can help you to get your life on track. Amen. Now the thing about being on track doesn't always look the same for each and every one of us. Because we're all at different levels of growth. We're all at different levels in God, if you want to say. Now, the God is the same. The same love comes from God to each and every one of us. But some of us have been around for a long time. Pastor Chris has been around church his whole life. I've been around church for about 15 years. So his level in God might be a little different than mine. But it's okay. Because I'm growing in God. He's growing in God. We're growing in God together. We're building God's kingdom one brick at a time. And we're in tune with our God. So it's all okay. Remember, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. The little things, the big things, the impossible things are possible with God. And because of that, God deserves our worship. I want to share with you Psalm 150. Talks about praising him. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise thee, Lord. Amen. We are obligated, once we realize that God is real, once we realize that God can do great things, once we realize that God can save us from our sin and the devil's hell, once we realize that, what else is there to do but to lift your hands to him and say, God, I don't understand everything, but I understand that you're real. And that you've saved me from eternal damnation. You have touched me. Those that say God's not real have not felt his touch yet. His touch is unmistakable. I remember that first touch I ever received in an old Pentecostal church, little wooden building. It shook a little bit when they played the music. And when you walked along the wooden floor, it was loud. So you didn't move much in service once the preaching started because you didn't want to miss anything. But I remember, like it was yesterday, that first touch. I came to God. I was kind of an agnostic or an atheist or something like that. Because I thought, well, there's a God, but I don't really know that you can touch him. And I remember I was holding my daughter Taylor. She was small enough at that time. And it was like a tap on the shoulder. He said, hey, I love you. And I was sitting there, I was thinking, okay, I know what I do. I know how I cuss and fuss, and I'm kind of a bear to deal with at home. I know that all the things I do wrong, I know the shortcomings I have. And again, I heard, I love you. I love you. And then he touched my heart. And I'll never forget, I was praying with a Sunday school teacher. And it was like going to Sunday school for the very first time, because he touched me in ways that I had never imagined could be touched. Touched my heart, my mind, my soul. He reached in all the broken places and said, I can heal that. I can touch that. I can work with that. I can do amazing things with that if you will just let me. And some things I was healed of right then. One of the biggest things I had was a fear of public speaking. In college, I almost flunked out and dropped out of college because I had to take a speech class. That speech class nearly killed me. I would get up and the hands would start shaking, the voice would start shaking, and everything would start falling apart. I got a C in the class. I think it was out of mercy from the teacher because she didn't want to see me again. But God touched me of that and healed me of that, and it was amazing. And God does amazing things. He does amazing work if we will just let him. I had to get over myself in order to let him touch me in the way that he touched me. I did something that I'd never done before. I dropped to my knees in front of another man while he prayed with me. Now, the way I grew up is you don't bend your knee for anybody. You don't bend a knee, especially to another man or anything. You stand strong and you be a man and you thump your chest and you be like Tarzan or John Wayne, or you be strong. But in that moment, there was something bigger that I could not understand at the time. Still don't understand everything. But it was amazing. And I'll never forget that night. That touch. That one touch. It changed my entire life. It changed everything about me. Now, I still fuss from time to time, and I still do some things wrong. My wife can fill you in on all the things I do wrong if she wants to. Lord, don't let her want to. But he's working on me. An old song we used to sing out of the hymn book, I believe, it was Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. He's working on us if we will let him. He's working on us if we'll let him. In Mark chapter number 10 again, it talks about all kinds of interesting things that Jesus Christ did. The Gospels are full of miracles and things. If you ever want infallible proofs about Jesus Christ and him being God, read the Gospels, because they will prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was one real. He was a man, but he was also God on this earth, healing and touching, opening blind eyes and doing amazing works that can only come from God. And it's amazing how modern science, not so modern, but modern science tries to disprove the deity of Jesus Christ. It's funny to see them move along history. Because at first, they tried to deny that he even existed. But then the archaeologists dug a little bit and said, oh, well, maybe there was this guy called Jesus. And then they tried to attack his deity and say, well, he couldn't be God. But you read his book and you say, he had to be God. He had to be God. He had to be the salvation. He had to be the Messiah for this planet. He had to be. Because if this is just a book of lies, it would have been exposed long before we were ever born. It would have been disproved and thrown in the garbage long before King James come along with his translation. It would have been destroyed long before the Greek and the Hebrew and all the other translations. It would have been thrown in the garbage and said, this doesn't work. But throughout history, you look and you see that it works over and over and over again. It heals. It touches. It tells you things about you that you didn't even know. It tells you things that your spouse doesn't know. It tells you things about yourself that are unbelievable. Now, what's unbelievable? We all know that we're sinners saved by grace. The unbelievable part is he wants to use us. He wants to touch us. He wants to walk with us and talk with us. Now, imagine if you can, a beggar on the street. Doesn't smell right. Maybe hadn't had a bath in since May of 2010. God wants to walk and talk with that person. God wants to reach down and say, you know what? I can save your soul if you will allow me. If you will allow me into your heart, I can heal your broken situation. I can touch you in ways that have never been touched. I can heal you in ways that you cannot even imagine. And I can use you in ways that you cannot imagine. Again, the question, why? Why do we do this? Why do we have church over and over? Why do we do the things that we do? It's because we know that with God, all things are possible. Now, when this church first started in a living room, you would have never imagined that we would grow to the point that we are now. And in 10 years, you're not going to even recognize how much we grow in 10 years. And you say, well, that's impossible because we're just a little storefront church. We're just a little daughter work. We can't do this. We can't do that. We ain't got enough money. We ain't got enough people. Well, you know what? With God, all things are possible. And God's church, it says God's church, the Bible says that the gates of hell will not stand against God's church. And we're baptizing people. We're seeing people get saved. We're seeing people get healed. We're seeing amazing things happen in this church, at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. We're seeing amazing things happen. So I know that we're in the will of God. But what about the unbeliever? Or those that believed and have fallen away and have convinced themselves that God is not real? They believed at one time, but circumstances of life have pulled them away and they've listened to the whispers of the devil that say, he doesn't love you. Look at your circumstance. He doesn't care about you. Look at all the people who have left you. He doesn't care about you. Look at all the mistakes that you've made. Look how dirty you are. Look how much of a sinner you are. Look how fallen and depraved you are. What do we do with those that say, there is no God? Look at the newspaper. There's no God. If there was a loving God, how could all this happen? We've talked about a broken world several times in this church, and those sermons are good to explain that. I won't take the time to dive into all that, but just know that we live in a broken world. A broken world with broken people, with broken things happen. And we have free will. And God will not interfere with that free will. But if we will just let God do some stuff, we'll see a lot less bad stuff in the newspaper. If we'll start reaching out to people, people in positions of authority, people in positions of power, people in positions of no power, people in low regard, people in high regard, if we'll start reaching out to those people like never before, the nation will start to turn and say, what's going on in Plano, Texas? What's going on in Plano, Texas? The crime rate's down. There's this little church that used to be little and is pretty big now. And there's something going on. And you may say, the critic may say, or the cynic may say, well, that doesn't happen nowadays. Well, I remember reading this story about Azusa Street where there was a mighty move of God. And it took hold of an entire region. And it was so significant that we still read about it today. And you say Azusa Street to a believer, and they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard about that. And some of the older saints say, oh, yeah, I remember that. We will let God, He can do amazing things. For again, with God, all things are possible. All things. Reaching this city is possible. Reaching Collin County is possible. Reaching the state of Texas is possible. Now, it's going to take lots of daughter works to reach the state of Texas because Texas is a big state. But God is an even bigger God. God is a great God and worthy of our praise, worthy of our work, worthy of our tithe, worthy of our offering, worthy of our worship, worthy of everything that we've got because He's God. Amen. Now, what did the apostles do when they realized that God was real? The apostles are some, to me, funny guys because they're walking with Jesus Christ. They're seeing Him do miracles. They're seeing Him do great things. They're seeing Him do all these wonderful things. Feeding 5,000. Walking on water. But still, from time to time, they'd be like, yeah, but, eh. Yeah, He did that then, but, yeah. But once they realized, after the crucifixion, they all scattered. They were hiding in rooms, hiding for their lives, scared. Even though Jesus had told them over and over and over, I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back. And then I'm going to do great things. But these people who had walked and talked and felt and hugged and ate with Jesus did just like we do. They got scared, even though there were all these infallible proofs all around us. They got scared. But then something happened. Something amazing happened because after the crucifixion, the resurrection came. And all of a sudden, a light bulb kind of went off in their head. Whoa. There is something to this man. He's more than flesh and blood. He's more than someone who can heal and touch and heal blinded eyes and do all the things that He did. This is God. And in Acts chapter number 1, they start to listen to that God. Because it says in Acts chapter 1, in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. So here Jesus Christ is telling them very explicit instructions on what to do because Jesus is ascending to heaven. But He said that I will not leave you comfortless. There will be another one coming after Me. The Comforter will come. Now, why did Jesus leave? I believe the reason He left, one, He said He was going to. But number two, He wanted to live in us. Not just with us to where we could hug Him and touch Him. He wanted to be in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Be just completely saturated in us. That's the reason for the Holy Ghost. But they listened to Him. In verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked Him, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom? And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus ascends into heaven. They go to Jerusalem. They follow instructions very well at this point in their lives. And thank the Lord that they do, because this is where the birth of the church comes in. This is where the birth of the church occurs. There are many that say that the birth of the church was a fake thing, but it is absolutely real. It's absolutely real, and it's powerful. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he preached a message to a bunch of unbelievers saying, this is what you need to do. And to the unbelievers, I say today, pick up your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one of mine. But read the book of Acts and do what it says. The instructions of life are very simple. It's not like putting together a computer or putting together some complicated piece of furniture, which to me, furniture is complicated. But it's not like that. God has made it so simple for us. In fact, Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent. When I repented, I didn't even know the word repent existed. But I came to God and said, I'm sorry. I really have messed up my life. I have really made a mess of things, and I'm sorry. Please help me. That's repentance. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism. Once you've grabbed hold of who God is, you need to be baptized. Not so that you can join a church, but because the word says, be baptized. Being baptized is being buried and being risen again. Being baptized is washing away that old man full of sin, washing away that old person full of sin, washing away all the old habits so that you can begin again and live life anew and live life to its fullest. Amen. I don't care how much money Donald Trump has. I don't care how much money any other superstar of football or actor or actress, I don't care how much money they have, if they have not repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, and received the power, the Holy Ghost, in their heart, they are not living life to the fullest. They are missing out on the main thing, the main reason that we're all here, and that's to meet our Creator. Meet our Creator. Now, after we've done that, Jesus Christ in Matthew, he gave the apostles the Great Commission. Jesus' commission. And this is what we are to do after we've grabbed a hold of who God is and said, wow, God's real. He loves me. He wants me. He wants me with all the things that I know in my mind that I've done. He wants me. He loves me. And after we've fulfilled Acts 2:38, we are to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even unto the end of the world. After we've come to know God and realize that he's real and realize that he's here, even right now, walking the aisle saying, who can I touch? Who can I bless? Who can I build up? Who can I strengthen? Who can I heal? After we've done that, we don't need to hide it in our heart and say, well, it was just for me. We need to release that free gift that he's given us and say, you know what? This is so great. I've got to share it with everybody. I've got to share it with everybody. I've got to tell the world about Jesus Christ. I've got to tell the world about the change that he's made in my life. I've got to tell the world about, yeah, I was an old so-and-so back then, but I've been reborn. I've been renewed. I've been healed. I've been touched by a Savior that will touch anybody who will let them. Anybody who will let them. God is so wonderful. He wants to save us all. He wants to reach out to the hopeless. He wants to touch the downtrodden. He wants to do work with us that only he can do. He wants to do amazing things. Like I've said a couple of times, with men, some things are just impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Everything from the big to the small to the medium to the in-between, it's all possible. Now, how is God going to do all of this? Well, number one, he's God. He does his work the way he wants to, how he wants to, when he wants to. And that's the hard part sometimes, the when he wants to. I've had prayers before I go up, and I'm like, they're hitting the ceiling, and they're bouncing back down, and they're laughing at me. But know this, he's always at work. He's always at work, sometimes behind the scenes, sometimes on the grand stage, sometimes in front of everybody, but he's always at work. And he hears your prayer requests. He knows your prayer requests. He knows your heart. And he's going to answer that prayer in due time. Sometimes that due time is just immediate, and sometimes it takes some time. My wife prayed for me to get in a church for, a few years. We were married for a little while, and she had a spirit-filled background, and I had a heathen background, and the two warred against each other every Sunday. In fact, I had a job where I was managing a retail store. I got to make the schedule because I was a manager, and I always scheduled myself for Sunday morning and Sunday night. But my wife did something sneaky. She started praying. She started praying that I would get a job that would not require me to work on Sunday. And lo and behold, an awesome job fell into my lap. I went and applied, and they hired me that day. And it came with weekends off. It was a Monday through Friday thing. And that first week, she was... Guess what, honey? We're going to church. And I was like, but the football game's on. But I need to mow. I need to do this. I tried every excuse, and some Sundays it worked and some Sundays it didn't. But it was through the fervent, effectual prayer of a spirit-filled woman who refused to give up when sometimes it felt like her prayers were hitting the ceiling and coming back down. She kept praying. And because of that, I stand here today, reborn, full of the Spirit, full of God, full of everything that I can possibly grab a hold of every day. And as I begin to close, Pastor Chris, would you come? Or Sister Sarah? What do we do? How do we get this awesome power? Because the Bible also has kind of a sad word in here. In Matthew chapter number 9, Jesus is talking in verse 37. He says, "Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest." When we come to know God, a lot of religions will tell you that's the end of the story. You know God, good, sit on a pew, pay your tithes, shut up and listen. But that's not the end of the story. We believe here at Redemption Church, that's just the very beginning of the story. That's just the starting gun going off to where you can start running the race that God has set before you. Amen. That's just the tippy top of the iceberg. God wants us to be laborers in his harvest. Because the harvest is plenteous. There are thousands of people in this area that need what you and I have. There may be people in this room right now that need what we have. There may be folks with questions saying, okay, God might be real. What do I do now? Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Well, how do I talk to him? I haven't been to Bible college. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. No. You're missing the point. Just talk to him. Talk to him like he's your best friend, because he's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother in times of triumph, in times of tribulation, in times of just kind of going through life and mundane life. He will stick with you if you'll let him. God wants so much for his church. And God, we've got a lot from his church and from him. But if we could open our spiritual eyes, there's so much more. There's so much more. I think about heaven sometimes and how it's going to be joy unspeakable, full of glory. No more tears, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. And then I think about the fact that I have the Holy Ghost inside of me who wants that same glimmer of hope for this present world that we live in. Not that this world is ever going to be perfect, because it's not going to be perfect until the new heaven and the new earth come. But we can make it real close if we will just let God, let go and let God do his work. Can we all stand? I want, as Redemption Church, as we move forward and as we grow and as we reach people and people get saved and people get healed, we've already had amazing miracles occur in this church. Yes. We've had cancer healed in this church, not once, but twice. And I don't believe that's the end of the story. We've had broken families come to this church and get healed and be put back together in ways that are just unbelievable. We've had people come to this altar that didn't know God, and all of a sudden they get a firm grasp of, I don't know everything, but I know God's real. And I know I can find him at this altar. I know that he's able to heal, transform, rejuvenate. Whatever word you want to put in there, he's able to do it. Again, I go back to my first scripture. You say we don't have any laborers. Well, I look around Redemption Church and I see lots of laborers in the kingdom of God. I see lots of people that say, you know what? The laborers may be few over in Garland or Dallas or Richardson, but here in Plano, Texas, we've got a strong group of laborers that are going out into the harvest, and we're going to work it as best we can, and we're going to do amazing things through God. God's going to do amazing things through us, and it's going to be undeniable that our God is real. Amen. All things are possible. All things are possible. I can't say that enough. All things are possible. If we could just close our eyes and lift our hands towards heaven and take that to your heart, that all things are possible with God. Not with the man preaching to you, not with the person standing next to you, not with the President of the United States, but with God Almighty, all things are possible, including reaching this city.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com, and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.